Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and this is another Four Questions episode. And today the four questions are going to be answered by D.A. Keenan, the writer, director, producer, man of many hats, whose short film Rotzi was the horror comedy hit of the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2018. Whenever you see a great short film that's innovative and creative and brings a fresh view to something like Homicidal Killer Clowns, if you're me, you ask, I wonder what films this person's into. Well, now we're going to find out, because the four questions are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. But before we hear Keenan's answers, just let me mention that that film, Rotzi, I think it's going to be October 1st. But when season 2 of the Discover Indie Films TV series hits Amazon Prime Video, Rotzi's going to be a part of it. And while I'm mentioning it, yeah, go to Amazon Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film. I'm telling you, there's 26 great shorts. They compile into 10 half-hour episodes, perfect for a binge. You've got every genre in there. And it's like going to a film festival without leaving home. I'll be mentioning more things after Keenan's answers to the four questions, but I'll stop delaying it. Let's hear Keenan's answers.
Top three. I try and, I guess, the way that when people ask me that, I just look at my favorite filmmakers and pick my favorite of theirs. I think overall, Django is my favorite. Django Unchained is my favorite Tarantino one. And I could pick apart and compliment, like, you know, Inglourious Basterds has two of the most incredible, intense scenes of my life, like opening scene and then the one, you know, underground in that tavern. Like, you could, those are perfect for me.
Those are beginning, the, that opening scene is amazing. The scene where she's sitting at the table and the man who killed her family standing behind her, and you just stay on her the entire time. You just know him by voice.
Oh. Yeah.
But Django is a great film.
I think there's just so many little elements I love of that. Like, you know, from the comedic, you know, the KKK thing I think is fucking hilarious. And then you get to Leo's performance, which is a whole nother world for me. I love in movies or books any story where there is a murder that is, you know, in the moment, passionate. And I think when Christoph says, "I'm not fucking shaking your hand," and shoots him in the heart with that tiny little derringer, whatever it is. And that was like, whoa, it's great. It's fucking phenomenal. I mean, yeah, there's so just
that's,
so
that's
many
your
elements.
Top Tarantino.
That's my top Tarantino. And then I'd go to P.T. Anderson because he's just, he's got some range and he just is great. And I really want to say Punch Drunk Love, but it's Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. As much as I love Punch Drunk Love, Boogie Nights, just, it's also one of those genres where it's like, we got,
I mean, he's never missed, actually. He's never missed for me.
Oh, yeah. Inherent Vice, he missed for me.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I did not. I tried and tried. Martin Short's performance is phenomenal. I mean, even, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is great. It didn't.
It's embarrassing that I haven't seen it. But it's, by the way, mine would be There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood is so good, too.
It's,
I don't
so
know.
But good.
Boogie Nights, just, it's one of those that I think I can watch the most over and over. And that might be his masterpiece of them, but, you know.
But I guess now I have to see Inherent Vice.
That was the one.
How'd I miss it? I guess I must have been seeing kids' movies.
Yeah, right?
But Tarantino and Paul Thomas Anderson, two great filmmakers of our time. So what's your third?
And this one I struggled with because it's like, do I go Fincher or do I go Nolan? Because I love them both to death. But I mean, you know, how do you beat The Dark Knight? How do you fucking beat The Dark Knight? And I know everything I love is, like, is very mainstream, right. And I...
So you go ahead and lean towards Nolan.
Yeah. And Fincher's Dark Knight. Phenomenal. I just think that sometimes, like, there's a few movies that I'm like, they just don't have the story element, but he directs them so well.
He does an amazing job, but, you know, he does stuff like, you know, the Facebook movie and...
Yeah, and it's great.
It's great, but it's not, like, essential.
It's not where I think he shines. Like, Gone Girl for me is incredible, and Fight Club, and Seven, and all this shit. He's, you know, his work of, even The Game, I think is, I can't even get into that movie, but I love the way he directed
it. Oh, I love The Game, yeah.
I just think there's so many elements where logic kicks in, and I'm like, would they really have rigged his whole life that way? Could they have? How could he have not known? Whatever.
It's funny, because as a Fincher person, I also love, I'm a big defender of his Alien movie. Right?
Didn't he do Alien 3? Can I say, I haven't seen 3 or 4. Which is Fincher, and then Jean-Pierre Jeunet, The Anomaly, did the fourth.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him yet. I'll watch him.
Jean-Pierre Jeunet is like a freaking titan. I wish he was a household name.
For that. Amelie's household-ish.
City of Lost Children.
Beautiful. That's why you like, I mean, that's kind of Brazil-y in a certain way, set design.
Yeah.
You know, that retro-futuristic fun look. But yeah, there's a lot. There's so many out there that it's just...
It is. The list is never ending.
Never,
so you either have to limit it to 3 or go to 100. So you got
totally.
Your 3.
And then you go to 100, you're like, well, can I have 300? You know, like, if I'm going to put that, then this is at that par, you know?
Yeah. It would be interesting just to go directors. And Fincher's the one. Fincher didn't get on.
Not quite. I'd love Nolan. And I know a lot of people shit on him. And I think it's almost like you're too big for your britches, or you're the sellout, or I don't know what it is, or the hipstery thing. Like, I don't like what Dark Knight, man, and Hans Zimmer, and, you know, Heath Ledger. Like, that story moves. I'm on the edge of my seat. I remember in the theater just, like, sitting there, leaned forward. You couldn't have had me more captivated.
No,
Yeah, and I'm a huge Inception fan. I think Inception is pretty flawless. All right, well, number two is a toughie in a way because it's an underrated film.
Yeah, that question is difficult because is it underrated because everyone's seen it and they just don't appreciate it, or is it underrated because it just hasn't gotten its heyday? You know,
either whatever it means to you. You know.
So I mean, okay, I have a couple, but In the Bedroom got nominated for 5 Oscars, but I don't know anyone that's fucking seen it for some reason. It's one of those, outside of the small film circles of, because that's how I try and have to remind myself so I don't get lost. Like, how has no one ever seen this? I don't want to get too far down in the pockets of LA film nerds that we all are. Yeah. But when you ask the averages, they haven't seen it. And that's another one I've absolutely loved.
Okay, and that's a film housed in heartbreak and heartache. And
it's a tough one to watch. Sadness, you know? Yeah. But it's got another, you know, in the moment, passionate murder that I'm a big fan of. And The Limey. I don't think enough people have seen The Limey.
Soderbergh.
Yeah.
That's a good one, because what you did there is you chose one of our best directors, and then you went to a film of his that people kind of somehow missed out on.
We all did. I mean, I did at the time. I didn't see it when it came out. And then I saw it, and I just bought it. I'm like, I just have to keep watching it. It's that phenomenal.
Is
great.
And Terrence Stamp is...
Oh, it's so great. I just, there's a guy I work with, and he's French, so I always ask him what movies, like, he grew up with or that he loved, and we're always trading movies, and I just, you know, I told him, like, you know what, I always forget about some shit. I'm like, oh, you gotta see The Limey, and he was blown away by it. And it's, like, the subtleties in that movie, too, that are just so great and dark and depressing, or the action scene that has the lack of action that's so good, where he goes into that warehouse, and... we're just camera on the outside. I fucking love it.
Excellent.
Good revenge one.
It is. That's pure revenge.
Yeah.
I know. It's the classy version of those Liam Neeson movies.
Right. Oh, it's exactly. Or it's the thoughtful. I didn't even think of that.
It's the thoughtful. It's the one for the intellectuals like us fancy pants people who
just keep it simple. I don't need I have a specific set of skills. I mean, just show me you have a specific set of skills. Yeah. I don't even know that I'd be afraid of that. Doesn't sound that intimidating.
Yeah,
on the phone, it's like okay, bye. But
you know, it pays for his homes. It's good paycheck.
Yeah, that's probably a great paycheck.
Well, so now it's overrated.
Overrated is usually the big ones that do well with, you know, award season, like the big critic ones. For me, at least, because I think throughout most of the year, we get so hung up on all this, you know, superhero stuff predominantly, and all these remakes and sequels and prequels and all that.
But like stuff that's won Best Picture
I mean, every Best Picture for a while now, I feel, is just like, is it good because it's good, or it's good because nothing else is right now? Because we're not willing to take a chance. But one that I always, that I tried watching because I'm a big Adam McKay guy, I didn't like The Big Short. Did not like it. Love Vice. I thought Vice, editing on Vice is superb, but Vice was good as a whole. Obviously, Christian Bale's great in it. But The Big Short, I gave zero shits about. I loved a couple elements of it, but I'm like, why is everyone losing their mind over this? There's no main character. It's just an ensemble of people talking. It's like a glorified technical piece. Like, let's explain this to the average people, but who do I care about in that movie? Nobody. There's not enough time with one person for
That's
me.
That's actually, I really like your pick, because I'm The Big Short is good, but it's not a great film.
It's definitely overrated. There's some good elements, but...
And honestly, I think I just appreciated it because, you know, I was of an age during that crisis that, you know, it was refreshing to just see someone tell the truth about how it all happened.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but to me that fits in the world of a documentary.
But it's not a Best Picture type of film.
No.
At all. And I'm sure we could look at a list of films that weren't nominated that year. Oh, yeah.
And we're like, that one's better, you know, that one's better. You pull your hair out. But it was also like, that was the politically correct thing to, like, we got to put this in there because this happened and someone shined a light on it in Hollywood.
Yeah, but it's also, I don't know, he's a bit of a, I think there's a little bit of politics in his favor that... You know, totally. Sort of representing Hollywood lefty smart people who want to, you know, it's a good way to spread the word. But yeah, sure. It's not Best Picture.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it was overrated.
Yeah, in a world of Paul Thomas Anderson movies and all the other people you've named, yeah, I'm not sure McKay is the filmmaker they are.
No. And he's, I've laughed at most of his shit. He's always, yeah. Even Vice, I thought Vice was much better done for him trying to do something a little out of the world of slapstick.
I think really you have to give him, I think his comedy is actually better made.
Sure.
I think Anchorman deserves a retroactive award.
I left the theater and we were just like, that's an instant classic. Like, you can't beat that.
And did he do Step Brothers too?
I think he did Step Brothers. Step Brothers
is so freaking
Talladega
funny.
Nights, another great.
Is hilarious.
And that was about the last, or Step Brothers, whatever. That was like the end of when I could handle Will Ferrell as Will Ferrell-ish.
Yeah. It's kind of started
it was like the Jack Black run. Like, we got it. And
I mean, Step Brothers at work because the two of them are like remarkable together.
Oh, yeah.
It's just watching them play.
But well, that's what I think. I think no one gave a shit anymore. What was the last one? The Sherlock Holmes. Holmes and Watson. Like, oh, I haven't heard anyone watch it.
I didn't go, and I was sure when I saw the previews, I'm like, how are we going to skip this? And the answer is, yeah, I'll watch it on cable or DVD. Right. I'm not going to
pay
for a movie ticket.
I love those guys.
I hear it's terrible, but how could I not enjoy those two on screen?
That's true. I mean, I know, like, Melissa McCarthy is someone that always makes me laugh, and even when it's a bad movie, she makes me fucking laugh. She's just one of those few that can always, like...
I know. We still have a dearth of comedy right now. I don't know. It feels like there's not enough comedy. But maybe that's because much...
Well, because everyone's so... or my understanding of, thinking about it. But once we got to, like, I think 2010, that's when the dry run started, I think. Whenever we got to, like, Wedding Crashers, Hangover... that kind of shit.
Yeah, after by the time we got to Hangover 3, it was like, okay, comedy is...
No one's doing... I mean, Judd Apatow every now and then will have it, but he plays comedy in the drama world really well because he writes it the other way, so it works. But everyone's also a lot more politically correct. So with the filmmakers and everyone that's funding it and the people portraying it, they're not as willing to take the chances. And I think us as an audience, sometimes we're like, are we supposed to be uncomfortable at this? Or can I just laugh because I think it's funny?
Yeah.
And it's tough because everyone's, at a different level. Everyone's like, oh, I laugh at everything. And some people are like, I used to laugh at that, but I don't know if I should anymore.
I still feel like there's going to be a breakout comedy again, and then we'll see a bunch of imitations.
That's what I heard about Booksmart. It was supposed to be the Superbad, and to me, Superbad was of that time when it was just like could do no wrong in comedy, and they crush into that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they have to just either go so far off the deep end that we just accept it, or we get lucky and somebody. Because you're right. Yeah, there hasn't been.
Yeah, it's too bad, yeah, because you're right. Well, but also the studios are focused on their tent poles that draw in all the money.
Yeah.
And then they do a couple of things aiming for Oscars, and then comedy doesn't get you either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not a Jim Carrey right now. We don't have a Jim Carrey.
That's true.
Somebody who is always just remarkable on screen.
Right, who would be that comedic like magnet that we're drawn to?
I don't know, and maybe it's the sexism because I think Kristen Wiig might be the funniest person.
Kristen Wiig does always make me laugh too.
She always makes me laugh. So why hasn't there been like three films with her as a lead since Bridesmaids?
Like Ghostbusters tanked, and I tried. Yeah. I wanted to like it. I like Kate McKinnon as well, and it's like
I know they're both so funny. Work. Like, why don't they have tons of films? And I think the answer is the executives are still dudes, and they still aren't completely sure about it.
Yeah, maybe it's dudes writing for dudes, or I don't know. I think there's just it slowly stopped. Being the let's just make movies and let's think about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad that we're progressing. I think at some point you just got to write it and then go back and tweak it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do that. And I don't think that people are doing that maybe.
All right. Well, question four is that lesser known?
Lesser known. I would say Lady Vengeance. So it's part of the trilogy of.
I don't know it.
Park Chan-wook, who did Old Boy. Have you seen Old Boy?
No.
Okay, well then, I thought more people had seen Old Boy. Maybe not. Old Boy already is the most famous of them, and then I think it was Spike Lee did the American version with Josh Brolin. Old Boy,
blow your mind. Is that Hong Kong cinema or?
It's Korean.
Korean.
So Old Boy, and then it's part of this trilogy. But Lady Vengeance is the way lesser known because Old Boy had a run on Netflix. Might still be on there. Highly recommended.
I gotta say that young man has very good taste in movies. Okay, well, that was D.A. Keenan, the writer, director, producer of Rotzi, which was a short film at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2018. By the way, the 2019 Sherman Oaks Film Festival is coming up in November. The final deadline, I think, is next month, like August 15th, and then the jury picks the films, and we're going to have four great nights of films in November, 21st to 24th. You should come out and support indie film. And talking about indie film, yeah, this podcast is Discover Indie Film, so you can go to discoverindiefilm.com to hear more podcasts, to see a lot of great films embedded there. There's links to great feature films. And if you dig short independent films, go to Amazon Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film. And you will see there are 10 half-hour episodes of superb short films for you to watch. And if social media is your bag, the handle for Discover Indie Film is at DIFWINS. That works for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And since I mentioned the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, I better mention Film Invasion LA. That's a festival that takes place every June in Sherman Oaks, California, which is one of the most important neighborhoods of Los Angeles. Maybe the most important. So, yeah. Thanks again to D.A. Keenan for coming in and answering the four questions. And you should watch his film Rotzi if you ever get the chance. Even if you have to wait till October 1st when the second season of the Discover Indie Film TV series hits Amazon Prime Video. Anyway, I want to thank Keenan, and I want to thank you for listening.